Hello, and welcome to Goop Tales, or should I say welcome back to both you and myself. This is Maria, and it has been a while since I've produced a Goop Tale. So thank you for being here. I just needed a creative break to reset. Do you ever need that? Sometimes you just need to go away and then you come back and things are better and you can think better. Well, that's what I had to do with Goop Tales. And I noticed that a lot of you were writing messages in Spotify. Thank you for those messages. You were wondering where I was or if I'm still doing Goop Tales. And normally, I didn't even know to check Spotify messages. So I did during this break, and I want to thank you for those. And I'm not stopping doing Goop Tales. I'm just giving myself the time that I need. And this is episode 130. That's a lot of episodes. And they just take creative focus and time for me. Anyways, here I am with number 130, which I really like. It is Sketcher and the Armenian National Gallery. Rafi, I want to thank you for coming up with this idea. I had to listen to your voicemail a couple times because your voice is so sweet and just charming. And you left this message a year ago. I hope you're going to remember it when you listen to it. So here is Rafi's message.
Hi, Maria. This is my third voice message. I'm in Mad Arena and I doubt it. My name is Rafi, if you forgot. I have a goop idea. His name is Sketcher. He loves to draw and he frustrates other goops when he's busy drawing and playdates. And he draws a hole and gets sucked into it, and he lands in Armenia. And he goes into a museum but doesn't want him to come out. Thank you. Hope you make this next Goop Tale.
So thank you, Rafi, for describing and inspiring Sketcher. Let's see if there's anything else I want to tell you before we get into the story. Just, I love hearing from you. You listeners are the ones that keep me going. And since I can't respond to you on Spotify, doesn't work that way. I can just read your messages. If you want to write me, you can write me on maria@gooptales.com, or you can just come to Goop Tales and you can leave a voicemail message for me right there. There's a little microphone thing and you can leave a voicemail message for me, and I love listening to those. Let's get into the story and take a trip with Sketcher to Armenia, and I will see you on the other side. Sketcher had such a great eye. If you wanted a drawing, he was your guy. His talent truly knew no end. Describe your imagination, and it would be penned. But when he got lost in his art, his focus was off the chart. Chapter 1. Once upon a time, there was a very talented young goop named Sketcher. Sketcher had the ability to sketch anything he saw and make it even more amazing than it already was. The goops were always mesmerized by his mind-boggling talent. If Sketcher were sitting in Miss Wigglebutt's science class, which he really did not like, he would sketch the back of Excitabelle's head and her huge hat to amuse himself. All he needed was a pencil and a notebook. Lucky for him, he always carried a pencil behind his ear and a small notebook in his back pocket. The more he sketched, the better he got. Sketcher could draw in cartoon style, in still life, in pointillism, where tiny dots created an image, and in many other styles. It was always a surprise for the eyes to see what he would come up with next. One hot and very still day, while sitting through a particularly long and tedious science class, I Dare You passed a crumpled note to Sketcher. As Sketcher uncrumpled the note to read it, Shusher, who was sitting behind him, held his finger to his lips and said, "Shush!" Sketcher rolled his eyes inwardly and glanced over at I Dare You with a sly smile. I Dare You returned the sly smile and motioned to the note. Sketcher looked down at the note and silently read it. "I dare you to draw the science lab table with all of its beakers and jars, and draw a beaker with smoke coming out of it. Maybe if you do that, the smoke will make this boring class disappear." Sketcher chuckled as he read the note because he too thought the class was dreadfully boring. Shusher immediately responded with another shush. Sketcher ignored Shusher, reached into his back pocket and pulled out his little notebook. And then he glanced over at the science table, where he took in a row of neatly lined glass beakers, a sink, several sets of gloves, a microscope, and a row of chemical compounds in dark brown glass jars. Looking over at I Dare You, he winked as if to say, "This is going to be good." Then Sketcher got to work doing what he did best, bringing the world to life through his sketches. He decided to draw the science table in still life and make it as realistic as possible. Sketcher's hand quickly flew across his page as he drew the table and filled in all the objects on top of it. He drew a row of five beakers, just like the ones on the table in front of him. Before long, the only thing that was missing from Sketcher's drawing were the little brown jars full of chemical compounds. When Sketcher became absorbed in his drawing, could not see or hear anything else.
"Class, I want you to pick a lab partner for this experiment, please," said Miss Wigglebutt, somewhere in the background.
There was lots of chatter and moving about in the classroom, but Sketcher didn't hear any of it. He was too deep into his drawing. He brought to life each tiny brown glass bottle and drew labels on them. "Sketcher," said I Dare You. Sketcher didn't hear him, and his hand continued to draw. "Sketcher, let's be lab partners, okay?" continued I Dare You. Still, Sketcher didn't respond to him.
"Sketcher, that sketch looks so good, but we have to partner up and do the experiment," said I Dare You,
who was quickly becoming frustrated by Sketcher's lack of response. Sketcher's hand continued to fly across the page as he drew a beaker with smoke coming out of it. He was drawing big, swirly billows of smoke coming from the beaker when I Dare You shook his shoulder and said,
"Sketcher, snap out of it. We have to do the experiment."
Sketcher did not snap out of it. And at that exact moment, Melody looked over at I Dare You and Sketcher and saw what was going on. Melody loved to sing, and she knew that Sketcher loved it when she sang. So she picked up her tiny microphone and sang out in her clear voice,
"Sketcher, might I mention, it's time to pay attention."
Sketcher snapped out of his reverie and abruptly looked up, following the sound of Melody's voice. As he did, his hand knocked over the smoky beaker he was drawing, and a billow of smoke emerged from his page and grew into a huge smoky cloud that enveloped Sketcher making him disappear from sight. I Dare You and Melody watched in amazement as Sketcher was surrounded by the smoke, and a moment later, when the cloud evaporated, Sketcher was gone. Chapter 2. Sketcher felt his tiny body dissolve into atoms that moved together. He no longer felt solid and had an experience of floating in space. He was enjoying a weightless moment, and suddenly he felt his body coming back together, solidifying, and then landing on stable ground. Sketcher was no longer in Goop World. Looking up, he saw dozens of small black eyes staring right at him. The eyes belonged to handmade cloth dolls that were lined up on a marketplace shelf, ready to be purchased. Sketcher had landed in the Vernissage Marketplace near the Republic Square in Yerevan, the capital city of Armenia. The Vernissage Market was a bustling place full of shoppers and hundreds of booths of handmade crafts, antiques, rugs, food, jewelry, and so much more. Sketcher's head was spinning as he tried to figure out where he was and what was happening. As he stared at the dolls in a daze, a shopping cart whizzed by and knocked him down, nearly running him over. Sketcher quickly stood up, scared for his life, and looked around for a place to take cover. As he scanned the market, he was sure that he saw one of the dolls wink at him. He did a double take, and sure enough, the doll winked again. Sketcher pointed to himself as if to say, "Me?" And the doll gave a tiny, almost imperceptible nod. Sketcher quickly crossed the aisle he was in, watching for oncoming shopping carts, and scrambled up the shelf that the doll was on. He was small, the same size as the dolls, so no one even noticed him. When he arrived on the shelf, he made his way to the doll who had winked at him. She moved ever so slightly and made enough space for Sketcher to nestle in between her and the other dolls. "Come, beside us, you will be safe, at least for now," she said in a soft voice. Then she asked Sketcher who he was and where he had come from. He told her all about Goop World and how he loved to sketch, and the accident that had happened in his science class. She listened carefully, taking it all in. Then she told Sketcher where he was, that he was on a shelf full of handmade dolls at the Vernissage Market in Yerevan. She told Sketcher that she and all of the other dolls had been handmade by women in a nearby village. They were brought to the market and put up for sale for tourists and small children.
"The problem is that we all look so alike. We don't stand out from one another. There is nothing special about us. I have been here for 2 years, desperately wishing for someone to purchase me. But they don't. They pick me up and examine me, but always end up choosing a doll with a brighter dress or a different pattern that they like better. Many of the other dolls around me have fallen asleep on the job, even though their eyes are open. They just don't care anymore because they have been here for years. I am lonely, and I am so happy you are here, Sketcher. My name is Roxy. You are welcome to stay by me," she whispered softly. Sketcher smiled and thanked her,
Thank you, Aroxy. You are my new friend, and I am so glad we found each other. I don't know what I would do without you. I want you to know there is something very special about you. Your kindness. I see your heart, whispered Sketcher. Aroxy gave what Sketcher thought was a small blush. The two of them sat in silence, surrounded by the other dolls, and enjoyed a pleasant afternoon watching shoppers pass by. They would occasionally make comments to each other. Sketcher pointed out a pouting little boy with his parents and said, "Look at that scowling little boy eating ice cream. I wouldn't want to be owned by him." Aroxy agreed. And then she glanced at a fighting couple and said, "I wouldn't want to be bought by those angry tourists either. They may take me home and throw me in a closet." Sketcher gave out a little chuckle and agreed. Then they heard a young boy's voice. "Mummy, look at that one. He's so funny looking. He's different. I want him." Sketcher and Aroxy glanced down to see the scowling young boy with the ice cream was pointing at Sketcher. Both of their eyes grew a little bit wider with fear. Chapter 3. Aroxy tried to slip in front of Sketcher and hide him, but it was too late. The young boy had seen him. He dropped his ice cream on the ground and was reaching for Sketcher with two grubby, sticky hands. The shopkeeper, who was delighted to make a sale on a very slow Wednesday, turned her eyes to the row of dolls looking for the chosen one. She spotted Sketcher and was surprised. She hadn't made Sketcher. She had no idea where he had come from, but she knew he would fetch 5,000 drachm, and she needed a sale. The shopkeeper was searching for a bag to put Sketcher in when the boy's mother said, "Oh, don't worry about it. We don't need a bag. My son Albert will carry him in his backpack." Then she held out 5,000 drachm. As this was going on, Aroxy whispered to Sketcher, "Go limp and pretend you are a doll. If that boy sees you are alive, you will never get free. Good luck to you. You made my day." "Thank you," whispered Sketcher. And then a soft hand reached up to the shelf and closed around Sketcher's little body with a firm grip. He immediately went limp. The shopkeeper handed Sketcher to Albert, who squeezed him with a tight fist. "Mine," he said triumphantly. Sketcher could feel his entire body being squished by Albert's fist, and it was quite uncomfortable, but he didn't move. He remained limp and didn't make a sound. A few minutes later, Albert was holding on to Sketcher by his foot and dangling him upside down as he and his mother walked through the Vernissage marketplace. Sketcher felt as if he was just minutes away from being dropped and trampled in the busy marketplace. He wasn't happy. He desperately wanted to find a way back to Goop World. "Come, Albert, we are going to the National Gallery," said Albert's mother as she pulled him out of the Vernissage market. "What's the National Gallery?" asked Albert in a whiny tone. "Oh, it's a beautiful art museum," responded his mother. "Bleh! I hate museums. Do we have to go?" asked Albert. "We do have to, and you have your toy you can play with if you don't enjoy it," responded his mother firmly. Albert scowled and followed his mother.
Sketcher feared he would never escape. A few minutes later, Albert and his mother were inside the National Gallery, along with hundreds of other tourists. Albert placed Sketcher at the top of his backpack with his head poking out and said, "Here, you can look at this boring place with me." Then he put on his backpack and followed his mother. Sketcher was relieved to be out of Albert's grip, and he did have quite a view of the National Gallery. He looked around at the artwork as they strolled through the museum. Sketcher admired it. There were beautiful paintings of outdoor landscapes, ships on the high seas, people fighting in battle, funny colored faces, a mother hugging her child. There were so many pieces of art that inspired Sketcher. The art made him want to be a better artist and sketch even more. He was dying to jump out of Albert's backpack and find a space in a hidden corner where he could just pull out his sketchbook and sketch. But he knew he couldn't. Someone would notice him and sound some sort of alarm. He didn't want Albert to know that he was alive. As Aroxy said, he would never escape Albert if Albert knew. Albert began to complain.
"Mommy, this is so boring," he whined.
"Shush, Albert," reprimanded his mother as she continued to stroll at a very leisurely pace. Albert saw a group of school children laughing and giggling a few rooms ahead of them. He really wanted to be with the other children. As soon as his mother began to gaze at an abstract painting of a small village, Albert ran towards the group of children. When he ran, his backpack jiggled up and down, and within seconds, Sketcher had fallen from his perch. He landed on the floor in a room full of sculptures in the Armenian National Gallery as tourists milled about all around him. And Albert disappeared into the next room with the school children. As quickly as he could, Sketcher ran to a pedestal that held a cat sculpture and pressed himself against it, hoping to disappear. As he stood there wondering what to do next, he heard a very low hissing sound. Sketcher looked up and saw the stone cat staring down at him. The cat's eyes narrow as they landed on Sketcher, and it let out another low hiss. Chapter 4. Sketcher's eyes widened as he stared up at the cat.
"It's a statue. He can't move," Sketcher thought silently, trying to make himself feel better. "I mean no harm. I will be gone as soon as I can figure out how to get back to Goop World," whispered Sketcher.
The cat looked at him quizzically. Just then, Albert's voice rang throughout the museum rooms.
"Mummy, I've lost him. I've lost my funny little doll," he wailed.
Sketcher pressed himself even harder against the rectangular pedestal, hoping to disappear. The stone cat raised his eyebrows, putting it all together.
"Is that you he's looking for?" he murmured.
Sketcher nodded. The cat looked at Sketcher for a long moment and took him in. He saw the tiny notepad in his back pocket and the pencil behind his ears.
an electrical energy emanated from the cat. He knew what to do.
"Do you sketch well?"
asked the cat in a low voice. Surprised, Sketcher nodded and then glanced around nervously, looking for Albert.
"Sketch me a mouse, and I will tell you how to get home," said the cat.
Sketcher was surprised but willing. He would do anything to escape, he thought, as he heard Albert's voice again in another room.
"Mammy, I'm not leaving until I find him."
The cat looked at Sketcher and tilted his head and lifted his eyebrows as if to say,
"You better start sketching. I'm your only option."
Sketcher quickly pulled out his notepad and pencil and began to sketch a mouse. His tiny hand flew back and forth on the page, and soon there was a lifelike mouse on Sketcher's little notepad. He held it up so the stone cat could see it. The stone cat had been dreaming about having a mouse snack for over 500 years. He had even seen a mouse or two scurry across the museum floor, but they always disappeared. The cat had a life force so strong running through him that he could animate things for just a few seconds if he chose. And he chose to animate Sketcher's drawing. Sketcher was holding the mouse drawing just a few inches away, and the cat stared at it. His eyes transformed from black stone into deep amber slits. Sketcher could have sworn he saw a tiny wave of electricity like lightning shoot out from each eye and land on the mouse sketch. Within 1 second, the mouse was alive, and the cat leaned forward and swallowed him with one gulp. Sketcher could not believe what he just saw. He wasn't even sure if it had happened. The cat had a sly grin on his face.
"Mummy, he must be in this room. Oh, wait, is that him?"
All of a sudden, Albert's voice broke the trance that Sketcher was in. Before Sketcher could even move, the cat murmured,
"Draw a door on this pedestal now."
At this point, Sketcher was standing atop the pedestal the cat was displayed on. He looked down at the white landing and without hesitation drew a tiny trap door.
"There he is, Mummy,"
said Albert as he pointed at the pedestal that held the cat. The cat shot his amber eyes upon the trap door that Sketcher had drawn, and the tiny handle popped up. Without 1 second of hesitation, Sketcher opened the trap door and jumped in just as Albert and his mother arrived at the pedestal.
"He was here, Mummy. Where is he?"
said Albert as he stared at the cat and noticed how a tiny bit of amber glow disappeared from the cat's eyes. Sketcher found himself on an underground slide that swallowed him up and slid him through a long, dark tunnel. Minutes later, he found himself shooting off the slide straight into Miss Wigglebutt's music class in Goop World. He quickly looked around for Melody, knowing she would never miss music class. But she was nowhere to be found. Melody was an ice sculpture in Cabo, but that is a tale for another time. Okay, that concludes today's episode.
And I want to remind those of you who do not have the Goop Story Kit yet that you can get a digital version, a downloadable digital version, if you go to gooptales.com, or you can get the soft copy book on Amazon, and that link is on gooptales.com as well. And in the Goop Story Kit, you get to create your own Goop from the very beginning, from thinking of the name of your Goop, what your Goop's going to wear, what your Goop's going to carry, what kind of character traits your Goop is going to have. You get to express yourself in any way that you want. There is no wrong way. You can have a naughty Goop. You can have a funny Goop. You can have a sad Goop. You can have a happy Goop. Whatever you want, you can create in this Goop Story Kit and bring your Goop to life. And when you do, I want to hear about it, because you all have the best imaginations. And I want you to remember that the more you use your imagination, the better you think. Does that make sense? So use your imagination. It's the best tool that you have in this world. And the more you fire it up and inspire it, the better ideas you're going to get and the more clearly you're going to think. So make sure to use it a lot. And hopefully the Goops inspire you to use it. All right. If you haven't left a review on Apple, on iTunes, I would love it if you did. The reviews make a difference in the algorithms and they let other people know about Goop Tales. And I read them. And they let me know that you're listening. All right, that is all I have for this week. If you want to see the sketch of Sketcher that our wonderful illustrator Anastasia did, just go to gooptales.com/episode130. And I will see you all in the next Goop Tale.